comics and games to movies and TV. This is The Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA. Nerd Rage. Nerd Rage. Now, here are the nerds.
You're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Nick Kenny with Scott Magerflesh and Micah Kilpatrick with all of our epic Darth handles.
Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
I feel like that's the first time that went smoothly.
And we're all back in studio together for, like, the first time in a month.
I know. Gosh, this would be a sensational show.
It should be fantastic. I'm so excited.
Do we have anything to talk about?
No, oh, I think no. We
there's
just wrap no,
there's
up.
Nothing really going on in fandom and in nerd culture and everything else that's going on.
I mean, well, most of the stuff's going on.
I don't know what that was.
That did not
Scott
go near as well as I tried.
His microphone.
Most of the stuff starts next week. I mean, Scott, you and I finished watching Westworld, and we'll end up talking about it later on in the episode. But most of the stuff starts next week, and we've got some local stuff starting later this month, too.
Yeah.
I'm already exhausted for next month.
I know. It's like, wow, we've got all these things coming.
Before we go into the three big ones, actually four big ones, that being She-Hulk, the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, and House of the Dragon, and of course Andor in the next 7 weeks. Scott, should we give a preview of what we might be talking about next week, of little adventure we get to have this week?
We can. Are you trying to make people jealous? Is that what it is?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Maybe we should hold back until we get back.
Oh, maybe not. I mean, you already brought it up.
That would be. And then we could post on the Nerd Show.
We could. We could potentially add some photos and say, hey, this is what some of us from the Nerd Show do when we go out and explore nerddom and fandom and do those type of things. So
I feel left out because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, so I've got a little trip coming up with a few of us, and Nick and I and a couple others are going to be doing a wine tasting at Skywalker Vineyards, which is owned by George Lucas, and it's at Skywalker Ranch in California. And then on Saturday, we're going to make a nice trip north slightly to Petaluma, California, to visit the folks at Rancho Obi-Wan, who you remember on May the 4th, we had them on, and it was great to hear Ann and Steve and talk about their environment and where they've come from. But yeah, we're going to go check out those environments a little bit. We'll wander around, and Nick will get to see for the very first time ever the Skywalker Ranch facility. We'll get to do a Four Yoda tour, which will be good. So yeah, maybe we should do that. We'll do a little Nerd Show Four Yoda
Maybe tape photos. A pillow to Nick's head, because I feel like maybe he'll faint.
That's a good likelihood.
There's a possibility, because Nick has wanted to see some of these places for many, many, many moons, and I'm finally making it happen.
This is like, when I start talking about it, I just get really excited, and my body clams up like it's I can't describe it, like Christmas.
So you're excited to go? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
You're looking forward to it?
Can't wait.
Okay, I was afraid you were going to cancel, so you didn't want to go.
Gosh. And if John Williams shows up, you'll probably just die on the spot.
I don't see that happening because he seems to be a recluse these days. But, I mean, the chance is still out there.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Exactly. More like one in a million. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be such a fun trip. I'm just immersed in Star Wars. I did a little research on Skywalker Vineyards earlier because I'm like, I wonder, you know, I've had the Pinot, which is pretty darn tasty, and I'm not a Pinot drinker. But that was one of the first, like, big establishments George Lucas created after ILM took off, because he's a vino. He loves wine. I think he's got a Skywalker Vineyards in California and in Italy.
Well, and there's one in France. So Skywalker Vineyards has branched out, and as they have gotten more popular and as they have gotten more successful, they actually have purchased two vineyards, one in France and one in Italy. And I believe it's the one in France that is – they actually serve – one of their wines is like on the list for Parliament. Something like that. I probably screwed that up completely, and Tom is going to beat me up when we talk to him on Friday about it. But yes, it's like they've got this really amazing winery that they have put a lot of time and effort into, and now it is actually a really successful vineyard, and they're doing great things out there. So yeah.
Gosh.
And so you may get to taste some of that on Friday.
We'll just have to see. Yeah. Oh, how fun. I haven't been to San Francisco since I was a child. Well, San Francisco. I've been to California as an adult. This will be a fun, quick trip.
It will be a quick trip.
Full of Ooh, excitement, adventure, Star Wars.
And Yoda statues.
And Yoda statues.
Yeah.
We'll have to take pictures of each of those.
We will. Like I said, it's a four Yoda tour.
I mean, to keep Micah in, like, well, could we do something from the Big Bang Theory where we get a little segue and attach an iPad there so Micah's head's joining us all day?
We could maybe do FaceTime or, you know, Messenger and go, hey, there's Micah.
I don't know how to do any of that.
Maybe just
take a picture of me doing a Spock, live long and prosper.
Okay, so I'll get a photo of you of that after the show, and then we'll take it with you when we leave here tomorrow night and head off, because we're leaving Thursday late.
We'll see how many people yell, that's blasphemy, no, it's not Star Wars.
It'll be all right. We'll get a little printout, a flat Micah. That's what we'll do.
It's not a flat Stanley, a flat Micah.
We'll do a flat Micah.
There we go.
I like it. Okay.
I'll be with you guys in spirit.
In spirit.
In spirits,
in
you mean?
In two-dimensional spirit.
Yes.
Well, like I'm a very two-dimensional person.
No, I've seen you live. You're three-dimensional.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
but personality-wise, I'm very two-dimensional.
I think some of our listeners would disagree.
On the side of one-dimensional or maybe even beyond? Either way.
I was thinking four or five, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, I transcend space and time.
Nice. Very Star Trek of you.
Well, couldn't go into the interstellar where not just space and time, but love?
The inner space?
I don't know. Of all the buzzwords that pop up with Micah, the only two things I think that I could identify that you love are Star Trek and your niece and nephew. I lump them up as one.
And Red Coast Pizza.
Okay, that's three. And three-dimensional.
There you go. See,
on Broncos.
And Broncos.
Oh, yes. How did I forget the Broncos?
How did you forget the Broncos?
Yeah.
That was actually first up when I started thinking about this.
Don't leave out the Legos.
I mean, we have five layers of the Micah onion right here.
Yeah, that's a lot of layers.
And we'll leave out my politics, but I have a political lean that I'm very much about.
Yeah.
And music. I very much love my music.
Mm-hmm. And he likes nerddom.
He does.
Yes.
Micah,
nerddom in general.
Yeah.
I don't hate Star Wars, even though a lot of times I hate on Star Wars and I like to make fun of Star Wars fans. I'm actually a Star Wars fan, just not nearly as much as Star Trek.
Sometimes the absolute biggest Star Wars fans are the worst Star Wars fans. So,
you know what? I will agree with that.
And you can say that about any fandom,
yeah,
but
I think
Star Wars has the most, I would say, vitriol directed back to prequels and then sequels.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements to it. And I think it's, again, because you have things that people grew up with and then they changed and they got different and they, you know, the next iteration was not what they were expecting or anticipating or hoping for. And
well, who's doing it right? My opinions are very jaded toward one direction. But, you know, you look at Star Trek, which started way before Star Wars.
Yep.
And they've had a couple of revamps over the years. And I don't know where you'd put them, Micah, in the pecking order of successful series right now.
Are we talking about quality?
Fandom and quality and consistency past generations. Then you have Star Wars, which was, you know, 70s, 80s, and then 90s, 2000s, and then late teens to now. And then we finally have this really new era taken off right now. You've got Lord of the Rings, which took off in the early 2000s, The Hobbits in the early 20-teens, and then now we've got The Rings of Power coming out. Harry Potter kind of was just its own thing, so it's kind of hovering there. I guess you have the Dumbledore world or the Newt Scamander. What's that one? Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, the Fantastic Beasts series.
You got Game of Thrones. What other fandom am I missing out on? I feel Marvel is just kind of
None of us are into anime, but some of the nerdiest people I've ever met are into anime. Plus, there are board games, tabletop games, and you get some really, really nerdy people there. And plus, there's a bunch of crossover. So you can't... In a way, a lot of times I will say one thing is more nerdy than another thing, but you can't say that one particular nerd is a lot of times is more nerdy than another, because you can get someone who's all about a property that's not quite as nerdy, but they're just so super into it that they are such a nerd.
Well,
and that's okay.
It is. That's kind of where fan comes from, because everybody forgets that, hey, I'm a fan. Well, the fan is a shortened version of fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fanatical about something, then you are a fan, and you can have different levels of fanaticism, if I can use that word, and mm-hmm. talk about that. But I like the fact that we're living in a time where it's okay to be a fan of pop culture and nerd stuff, and it isn't like it was. Because like when I was in high school, those were very different groups, and I wanted to cross-pollinate and exist within a lot of those because I was a Star Wars fan. I like science fiction. But at the same time, I was also an athlete, and I also did fairly well in school. And so I kind of didn't really totally fit in any of those groups, and I sort of just bounced between some of the other ones, which is nice because now that's normal as opposed to being very out on the fringe, which wasn't popular to be out on the fringe in that regard.
So you were one of those people that I knew. I knew people like that who were just cool in general, who could just hang out with anybody.
Oh, I never said that I was cool in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that I could have been lumped into any one of those groups, and it would have been a fair fit.
Now you're probably one of the cooler nerds. I was not a cool nerd by any stretch of the imagination. When it came to my clique, I was definitely lower end of the cool spectrum. And I'm kind of okay with that. I mean, that was my place, and I was always weird, but that was who I was. Being a nerd was who I was. I don't really want nerdiness to be too popular, because that's how I grew up. That's how I identified. I identified as a big Broncos fan and a big Star Wars and Star Trek fan. That's what I was when I was a kid, and if suddenly everybody's a Star Trek and Star Wars fan, if it goes so mainstream, it's just going to be weird.
Kind of loses like its allure.
Bandwagon fans for yep. when the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So, Michael, what was your experience walking down at Fan Expo of seeing all those people? I mean, what do you think? 20,000 people in there or more? Has to be more.
I haven't seen attendance numbers yet, but I know that it was very well attended. I know a lot of times they count repeat visits because people will buy like a 3-day thing and then say we had 50 or 60,000 in attendance. So I thought I saw something in the mid to upper 30s is for what they had. So
just
it was a lot of people.
An enormous amount of people.
It at certain points, it was really, really packed, and I'm not a crowd person. But it was fun to watch, to see a lot of people. Like, what type of person would you think, oh, this person's into anime, this person's into Star Trek, and just totally, like, not see that person into a completely different nerd property. See that person be completely different. See, like, a family dressed up. I saw an entire, like, group of people, young adults, dressed up in The Boys. And I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. But,
yeah.
Like, they were all dressed up and as Boys characters, and overall they were the best dressed, because they put a lot into their costumes. They were professional, and I had to go up to them and compliment them, because they went all out. I was just wearing, you know, our
just wearing
nerd show shirt.
What do you mean just wearing? Those were custom made.
Okay,
sorry,
custom
with
made.
Our names on there, with our handles on there,
and I was wearing my jeans, my shoes. They were all decked out. And it wasn't just them. There were a lot of people wearing anime stuff. There were some people wearing some Star Wars. There were some people wearing Star Trek. Some people wearing things I didn't recognize, because it was so beyond my spectrum of nerdiness. And I admire that. I think that's totally cool. And I think that's what's great about nerd culture, is that all those types of nerds can get together and be in one group and be like, I'm not a fan of that, but that's really cool what that person is doing.
Well, Mike, I'm guessing we're probably going to have to go to break here in a moment, but not to make you panic, but what I'm finding online is that they are estimating that there were just north of 100,000 people that attended Denver FanEx.
At one time?
Probably not at one time, but
okay.
Overall, but still.
Oh, good for Denver FanEx.
Yeah. They had good attendance.
Remarkable. Just remarkable. Oh, it was so fun to be there. We'll be back with more nerd talk after this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice, brought to you by Right Coast Pizza. I had some Right Coast last week. It was tasty. Catered for the Northern Colorado Young Professionals lunch and launch.
Wow. Wait,
why? How come I wasn't there? You got to tell me this stuff.
I should have. It's on social media. I share it every now and again.
I'm not on social media that often.
That's fair. I'll let you know when the next Young Professionals, 20s to 40s-ish.
Do you have to be
that,
professional?
That doesn't include me. I can see Nick looking at me going, not you.
I'm 40s-ish. I'm not 40 anymore.
Well, that's all right. 40s-ish
counts. I've passed the mark.
We give grief to Matt Astron, the owner of 477. Actually, this running jokes with this legend in the community, Tom Shaw. Papa Tom is what many of us call him. But there's always some running jokes about his age. Tom's really not that old. But occasionally, we just throw a little jab here or there. Well, Matt is getting that in the Young Professionals because he's on that 40s plus spectrum. So, boy, seeing those jabs coming at him the other day were, as Michael Scott would say, how the turntables from poking fun at Tom.
Yeah.
But, that was just a segue spin on Right Coast. But
have you had their calzones?
Absolutely. They're good for three meals for me. You weigh those like you would a child. Well, how big's yours? 8 inches with 9 pounds and 9 pounds, 4 ounces. What's this? Oh, that was a 13-inch one.
We are talking about calzones, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I realize I should have given a larger number and measurement there.
I had one on Saturday.
A calzone?
Right Coast Pizza's calzones never disappoint.
No, they are excellent.
They are so good.
Yeah. So I'm a little back on. So you guys don't know this, but I actually finally watched Jurassic Park Dominion over the weekend.
What'd you think?
I was whelmed.
I was whelmed.
I wasn't overwhelmed, but I wasn't underwhelmed. I was just whelmed. It was.
You know, I love dinosaurs. I love Jurassic Park. It was the first movie I ever saw in theater, so it's always going to be one of my favorite. A fun fact, by the way. Actually, it's a trivia question. I should back off of that.
I was going to say, are you going to ask? Are you going to tell us this information tomorrow night?
Might.
Last night? Did you tell us last night?
I could have. So I'll just hold off on that. Actually, I have a backup one. Dinosaurs were only used for 15 minutes in the original Jurassic Park film.
Yeah.
That's it, because the technology was so was scarce. But, boy, they were incredible back in 1993, probably 91 and 92 when they were created.
Yeah. But anyways.
The first one's the best dang one. The second one I can tolerate, Jurassic World. Third one, it was nice to have Grant back, but still it was like, gosh, this is cheesy.
Yeah.
And Jurassic World was just corporate America getting its label on a amusement park. The second one, it was kind of like Star Wars. You know, they tried to introduce this twist, which is the kid being a clone and that being big controversy. And then that, of course, leads up to Dominion, which they didn't focus much on dinosaurs. It was locusts and those swarms and kind of alarming that you could is this really our future? Could this happen? It was great to see the entire cast back. I thought they all worked well together, and it was good to have them on screen. But as far as the whelmingness, I think I would say I'm the same, Scott.
Yeah, I don't know why I wanted to bring that up, but it was kind of like, it was not near as good as I had hoped for. And, you know, I thought it was funny, you know, the T-Rex ends up coming out on top again, which seems to be the common theme, which in all reality is not going to happen, because with the other dinosaur that was in there, he was not the alpha.
Yeah.
And
he just had help.
He got help from the other one that had the big giant claws that apparently couldn't smell or sense anybody underwater, which was kind of odd. Again, I did like some of the nods to the original film, like, you know, in the last third of the film, you know, there's that scene when they're all inside the compound and you see the T-Rex that comes from behind the water feature that's round and it literally looks like the logo of Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was good. And then when they have the one moment where they're all running and the one girl is screaming as they're trying to get away from the one dinosaur. So I thought there were elements of that that for no other reason were providing nods to the original, but it was a 2-hour and 20-minute film that felt like it was about 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, and it was so predictable in so many different areas. And I felt like that they missed the mark and could have done better. But anyways, I know that's not what we're talking about, but I just had to bring it up because it was something that I saw and
a good recap.
I got to talk about it on air.
Probably doesn't deserve its own like full show or even two segments, but
yeah,
last one I saw was Jurassic World. and I stopped there.
Yeah.
Actually, a fun fact that I just read today, Bryce Dallas Howard was paid significantly less than Chris Pratt in that film. And that tends to be Hollywood's trend. You know, females are paid less. But she wasn't angry with Chris Pratt and how much he was paid because he actually tried to fight for pay equity for the two of them. Not that Universal agreed to that or anything, but that was trending on Twitter earlier this week of
interesting.
Bryce Dallas Howard was it, appreciating...
Was it? This last movie or the first one?
This last one.
The last one.
Because he's not necessarily the star. He was that big name for Jurassic World, but this last one, they really made that story spin around he and Bryce Dallas Howard and, of course, the little clone girl.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. I still think if I'm going to watch a dinosaur movie, it's probably just going to be the original,
yeah,
the OG from 93.
I would
agree. Can we get that in a tag? That's a good shirt.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
And if you really wanted to go old school, we could actually watch it at my place on Laserdisc.
Oh, neat.
Yep. We could do that.
Man, that was so many fun
things. So what were we going to talk about? We're going to talk about upcoming stuff.
Yeah, we got probably the next segment and a half about, well, we've done some recaps and some reviews of all the trailers that have come out for both Andor, for House of Dragon, which claims that they're going to have a battle sequence even more monumental and epic than the battle from Helm's Deep, they
really?
Say. Which, there was a meme that was circulating last week which said nothing will be more, unless you have Gandalf arriving on the fifth day in the east, then no battle's going to be as epic as Helm's Deep.
Interesting.
But that's a pretty bold statement. Now, Chris Pratt said that Jurassic World Dominion would rival the excitement of Avengers Endgame, and I didn't get that sense. So when House of Dragons proclaiming they're going to have this epic battle between the Targaryens, I just, until I see it, I'm not taking the bait.
Well, we'll wait and see.
And if it's Helm's Deep quality,
yeah,
we'll have to review that.
That's a high mark to try and meet.
So is House of Dragon, is that going to be a multiple season series or anyone know?
I don't know. Micah, do you recall if they've already been planning that out for multiple seasons or was it going to be just a one and done?
I am looking that up now.
Oh, well, it might be a one and done if they're doing – well, or just a miniature – you know, like Ted Lasso's, they're going to be three seasons when that's said and done.
They could.
Who knows about Mandalorian or Obi-Wan? You know, it could just be a one. But they're also doing that Jon Snow spinoff as well. I don't know if that's – I don't know anything literally about that other than there are talks
aware
about
that it's
it.
Happening, yeah.
According to IMDb, it's 2022 to – we don't know.
Gotcha. So there is
it'll probably be more than one series, unless it gets canceled.
Well, and I think that's a big test because for me, I watched Game of Thrones late. I could watch it in succession. I binged it, basically. I didn't have a beef with it, but I know a lot of fans who followed every year and had those cliffhangers didn't necessarily enjoy the last couple
of seasons.
That
would be a great, even kind of an audience participation. We get people to fall in. I feel the same way. I binge watched it. So I didn't have that anticipatory kind of mindset around everything. And I really enjoyed it and just felt like it was one thing after another and it kept coming and kept coming. And so the beef about the last two seasons being rushed and kind of put together, I didn't have that same sentiment. So.
Because you rushed it.
I guess, maybe. Maybe.
Also his favorite band.
Yes.
Well, stay tuned for more Nerd Show. We'll dissect. That was a bumper music. Let's just keep that in there. Stay tuned for more Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Nerd Show.
Wow, it sounded exactly like Micah. I am so sorry. I had no idea that you shared that close of a vocal range as Geddy Lee, so my apologies.
Well, that was actually me singing right there.
Oh, that was Micah singing.
And that was,
oh,
that, wow. That's the karaoke version of the song.
That was just Rush playing music in the background and you singing that. So
yeah,
well done, sir.
Going out, I was playing, you know, just the vocals of Geddy Lee. So actually, I'm better.
Oh, don't ever say that again.
No, I apologize. That was wrong of me to say.
And now I'm laughing over in my peripheral vision, I'm watching Nick take selfies of himself and send them to his friends on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever he's doing. But I'm just like, are you kidding me? He's like in studio with his headphones on.
smiling and selfieing.
Smiling and sending shots to who knows who.
On Twitter
our nerd fans all over the world.
Indeed, yes.
Is that what it is?
I wish.
Yeah.
We should make that happen, though.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not sure anybody. Well, maybe for you.
Well,
I have a face for radio, so I'm good with that.
That's my line.
But it's not really accurate.
Well, I disagree.
Nah, you're a handsome man, Nick. You should embrace that.
Well, you're like
the Barry White when I need it?
Mike is digging in deep.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that we're supposed to talk about stuff. So something I saw the last couple days I'm super excited about. We were talking about all those shows that are coming up. Star Wars and maybe Disney has announced that there is going to be a limited release of Rogue One on IMAX, apparently August 26th, which is a week from Friday, if I'm doing my math correctly. And I'm super excited to figure out where that's going to be. I looked earlier today and they're not announcing cities yet, but apparently it's a limited IMAX release that's going to happen. So I am already planning if it's going to happen in Denver. I'm buying tickets and I'm going because I love that movie anyways. It'd be awesome to see it in IMAX. But that'll be a great lead-in. And then we get three episodes right off the bat with Andor. It's kind of interesting how we're seeing this. Okay, we're going to drop one episode. Now we're going to drop two. Now we're going to drop three. I'm hoping they don't get to the Netflix mindset and approach where they drop just the entire series.
Well, are they doing that because they're behind? Because it seems like the last two, they've been behind, with Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And then Andor, and same with Obi-Wan. That was pushed back several weeks.
Well, and I think that was a little bit strategic because of Celebration. I mean, they did that. I think that was all about, let's get the fandom excited about it. Let's drop it at Celebration, and then we'll release those episodes the next day. So
that could be just perpetual back.
Yeah.
Because two is good. Two is enough to sink your teeth in and to get excited, and then to have if it's a wow episode, and the second ones might be a little slower.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope they don't start doing all season. I mean, it would be nice because sometimes it's convenient to just binge. But, there's something about the anticipation and the excitement and the occasional waking up really early so you don't miss that next episode.
I did like, too, when I was watching the final episode of Westworld this week, which we'll talk about in the next segment, they actually led in with a preview for House of Dragon.
Ooh.
And it was really kind of cool just to see that and to see how that developed. And they kind of tease a little bit about the fact that the Targaryens were split primarily over the use of dragons, that there was this, we shouldn't do this and we should do this. And so that was kind of cool to see how that's being built up within their own family to kind of, it's a house divided sort of thing. And I like that. And so we saw, literally you see a dragon like right off the bat and it's like, there be dragons.
Dragons are, we already know what happens. There's no dragons when we are introduced to Daenerys Targaryen. So you know what's going to happen, but I'm confident that this is going to be an excellent story.
Which I think, going back to your question earlier, gives us an opportunity. This could be a multiple season kind of story, because if we're literally just introducing dragons into the equation and we find out that the Targaryens were very much in favor of the dragons and they had kind of used them early on in the kind of the Game of Thrones lore, then obviously there was a rise up of the dragons. They kind of took power and then something happened to kind of wipe them out, whatever that was, whether it's famine or disease or, human intervention, whatever it was. And then we didn't have them for a period of time to get to where we got to in Game of Thrones. And then we get all the way back up to Daenerys, who now is the dragon, the dragon mother. And so it'll be interesting. There's a lot of ground to cover in that. It'll be really cool to see what all they cover and what all they do with it.
Now, Micah's the second person I've talked to who's been a Lord of the Rings fan, not as much as a fanatic as the other person I talked to, but they're not very confident that this Lord of the Rings series is going to be as good as the hype. I'm excited. I'm super stoked. There's some concerns that Peter Jackson was approached to be involved early on, but then they seem to have ghosted him. The studios did clarify that, hey, we did reach out initially, but they want this to be completely separate and not influenced by what happened in the movies as Amazon's own project. Yep. So they did kind of ghost him, and it seemed kind of like just like this awkward. He says he's fine with it. He's excited to see it. So I think it's just the media trying to stir up some emotions that it won't be very good because Peter Jackson wasn't involved. Well, Peter Jackson was involved for the original trilogy, and then we had The Hobbit, which was entertaining but not a quality trilogy.
And I think we should all go in with a blank slate, because if you go in thinking negative, this is going to be bad. A lot of times you're going to see negative. And there are some people sometimes that I watch online who are just down about everything. You can't be down about everything. You can't just listen to all the rumors.
I wonder if those people really have a glimpse of happiness in their life. And if not, I hope that they find some, because it just makes me sad.
Sometimes I've heard, I can't remember what this guy's name is. He's on YouTube, and he just badmouths everything. And then I'll like go and watch what he's complaining about. And sometimes he has a legitimate beef. A lot of times he doesn't. A lot of times he's just, he seems like he's my age. A lot of times he just seems like he's old manning it. And it's like sometimes you have to accept that storytelling today is different. Yeah, it's going to be a little negative. Yeah, some characters are going to be different than what you expect. And maybe in the next few weeks I can talk about the latest Star Trek show that I've been getting into and my thoughts on it.
Nice.
So yeah. I'm through the first four episodes.
No, that's cool. And I think the other thing that maybe is speaking to why you're not as excited about it is that we have like almost nothing
to go on
to base this off of, because it's 1,000 years before Tolkien's series, and so all you have is these little references about these certain times, and I think what do they call it? It's the second age of men or something like that. I think that
we still have the first age that hasn't been covered. It's just talked about, but
yeah.
We get the recurring characters that aren't going to be played by the same actors. We'll have Galadriel and Elrond, and of course Sauron, but yeah. Maybe he's not Sauron yet. I'm excited. The what they're creating looks pretty magnificent.
Yeah, I think it's got a huge potential, and maybe that's part of the concern, is that the potential and the hype is so big that it might not have any opportunity to live up to the hype.
And I haven't heard a lot about the hype. I've heard more negative than I have positive.
We
need to temper our expectations, but also temper our negativity.
I have no negativity going into this, other than I'm upset because there's so much good stuff coming out in such a short amount of time. I don't know how I can keep up.
There's the Barry White.
There it is.
Stay tuned for more Westworld talk. Not more, but some Westworld talk coming up after this break.
Welcome back to the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. This is the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, brought to you by Right Coast Pizza. And yes, I'm introducing the last segment because Nick Kenny has left the building. He is such a busy, busy man, and he had to get out somewhere. And we're talking about Westworld, and he hasn't watched, so he had nothing of value to contribute. So,
and this is the final. This was the final episode of Westworld.
Oh my goodness! So before we get into it, because I want to talk about it, I thought it was really cool. The making of. They talked about how they actually used the volume during the making of the season, especially some of the Times Square scenes, which is what was really created for The Mandalorian, and that was where they did a lot of those scenes when they were shooting The Mandalorian in this thing called The Volume, which is kind of this surrounded by these screens. I thought it was cool that they made reference to that out, because some of the scenes they shot and how they shot them, was not sure how they did that from a 3D perspective and from a CGI perspective. So that was cool to hear.
And the CGI was very good.
It was good. Yeah, I was very impressed with it. I'm still a little bit confused, though.
What are you confused about?
Well, because we see kind of the break in the reality that they're living in when they start going through this stuff with Bernard and Maeve when they show up at the Hoover Dam. And so you see that break start to happen, and you see the world start to split, and you have that little fissure, if you will, that comes up from the
You're talking about the so I think that world is the world beyond where in at the end of season two, all those characters.
Yeah, when they went to in the Sublime. That was into the Sublime. So I get that. But where I was struggling is then what world was C and Caleb interacting in and where they were working their way out for them to escape. Because it almost seemed like to me that there was Christine slash Dolores's world that she was the storyteller in that was taking place. And that was the one that kind of got destroyed when Hale pulled her Pearl out of the base of the tower. So that building went away. So it was sort of like a world within a world. But then Hale goes to the Hoover Dam and there's that fissure that's separating them from the Sublime. So I'm like, what? They're living in a digital world also?
So here's what I always assumed. I assumed that C lived on planet Earth and she was one of the last non-created human beings. Being the daughter of
Frankie. Yep.
Yeah. So I always assumed she was one of the very last human beings who hadn't been created by the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other humans were in multiple cities around the world, or maybe just one city.
Yep. That had been infected. And
they were being controlled by the tower, the epic tones, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Very, Close Encounters kind of feel for some of that stuff, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who wrote that. I don't know if it was Ramin Djawadi or what, but it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It gets in your head.
Oh, yeah.
But I just assumed that we, especially after this last episode, I assumed we have three worlds. We have the real world. No, four worlds. We have the Valley Beyond or the World Beyond or the Sublime.
The Sublime.
We have the real world,
mm-hmm,
where you have C and it's desolate and there are just a handful of human beings still trying to save people. You have the people who have been created.
The hosts.
Been created by the hosts. They are under control of the hosts.
So the ones that are infected.
Infected, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
The ones who are infected by the hosts, you have that world. And then you have Dolores' world. And she is within her own world. And she is there to... I assumed that she was there to be the creator of the new world.
Right.
That was supposed to be the utopia, the transcended world that all the hosts were supposed to go to.
Right.
And at the end of the show, she's saying, okay, the world is done for, but I am going to
We see her narrative at the end that, that humankind has been extinguished and there's no more intelligent life physically that exists, which is what struck me. I'm like, so was this all just this mindset of we're starting over and it's all a simulation? It's all being done in a digital real time, kind of like Bernard was doing over and over and over again. And that's where I had a problem with it, because it's like, well, then that means that Frankie, everything that we saw was literally happening in a digital realm and never physically existed. And that was where I was having a hard time with it, because if you remember, Hale was interacting with Caleb, and that same Caleb is the one that interacted with his daughter, C, and that same Hale that was interacting with Caleb is the one that she made herself stronger after she was killed in the previous episode by William. And then she was the one that took Dolores's Pearl and added it to the Sublime as the storyteller and then merged those worlds together. And then we see the Fisher go away. And then we see Hale self-destruct. But I'm like, well, if there was a Fisher there, then they're both existing in a different digital realm in some capacity. And so then where does that leave Frankie and her band of rogue, human beings out, trying to survive?
Dolores has the key. She can open up the fissure whenever she needs to.
Right, but if there's, and again, so the fissure exists, but you're still talking about different layers of a digital existence, because I can't see, and maybe that's what they were trying to play with, that we've gotten to a point where there was an element that literally could create a separation both physically and digitally between the physical world that we live in and the digital world and all the servers that the Sublime existed in.
I'm starting to think that I should have gone to YouTube and found an expert who's watched this six times.
I for me finishing up today, it was like, it was great, but I felt like that there was a little bit of a disconnect between where is the line drawn between the digital world and the real world? And is there really physically servers sitting at the Hoover Dam that are powering all these servers and that's all there is to the world? Or is there the world that actually is out there? Because if we think about it, is the Sublime powered or has it become self-sufficient in such a way that it doesn't need power? And now we're dealing with a fourth dimension of reality that none of us can get to because we have a corporeal state, and now you're talking all about the digital realm. So,
stop mind-effing me here.
I'm sorry, man. I had a hard time with that at the end. So,
you know, maybe I should have gone to YouTube afterwards. It's, you know, the show is kind of a mind-eff. So if you're going to watch it, you after every season, you will want to if there's enough time afterwards, rewatch the season before you watch the next one if there's space in between the times you watch it, or go to YouTube and get a smart person's opinion.
I don't know, maybe, but I just thought it was something that I figured out. Maybe people can chime in on social media or something else and tell us what we missed. So anyways, that's it for our show today, as long as you're listening live. But if you're checking us out on Spotify or online or anything else and are looking for some additional content, Micah's going to stick around, talk a little bit more in our post-credit discussion. So if you want to stick around for that, do. Otherwise, stay nerdy.
Welcome back to the Nerd Show on 103.1, 1310 KFKA. And of course, if you're listening to this, you're going to be listening to this online, either 1310kfka.com, maybe Spotify, maybe Stitcher, whatever that is. Whatever platform you're listening to it on, welcome. So I watched the 5 episodes of I Am Groot on Disney Plus, and I have to say, they're all pretty good. They're all 3 to 5 minutes, little short stories with Groot being Groot. You know, he's little baby Groot. And they're kind of fun. Definitely made for kids. Kids are going to laugh the entire time. You might have a couple chuckles. There's at least one really funny joke throughout in each one. So it's definitely, I think, worth checking out with your kids. They're not really going to, you know, further the story. They're just short little, it's like those Pixar shorts that you'll get on the DVD extras. They're just little fun things to kind of spice up the story. And it's not going to further anything. It's just a lot of fun. Your kids are going to enjoy them. I thought they were kind of cool. Check them out. I Am Groot. All 5 episodes are out now. I also, this week, started checking out Strange New Worlds. I've been behind on the Star Treks. There's been so much nerdy stuff to watch out. I've been behind on the Star Treks. Strange New Worlds, in my opinion, is the best Star Trek in years. Forget the Orville. You know, the Orville doesn't really count as, isn't really Star Trek. I count it as Star Trek, but it's not really Star Trek. Strange New Worlds is the best Star Trek we've had in years, and I'm not joking. I'm through 4 episodes, so maybe it'll like hit a wall and just go off the rails or something. But through the first four episodes, I'm rather impressed. I love the captain. I love the stories. I love the way they're written. There are a few nitpicks. I could nitpick this and that and this and that. It's they're a little darker. There's, you know, a little more attitude from some of the people, some, you know, millennial quips or Gen Z quips. You know, you have to serve some of the younger people as well as some of the, you know, the older generation. But I think this is the best overall Star Trek I have seen in a while. And I'm very happy with what Paramount has done. These are all episodic episodes. Really impressed. Again, only 4 episodes through. And there are 10 episodes in the season, so I'm going to continue to watch. But very happy right now. This is exactly what I was looking for. Not over-the-top political. This is very, very Star Trek. This is very, very... I'm so happy, guys. I'm so happy. I'm just going to end it by saying I am so happy. Anyway, this has been The Nerd Show. Post credits on 1310ka.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Everyone, stay nerdy.